We are going to read the Word of God this morning from Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 19. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Well, in that sense, just think about it. It's those that are under the law. Who does this verse say are under the law? Let's finish the verse. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So in that sense, we are all under the law, that we are all guilty before God, and our mouths of making excuses for ourselves are stopped before the living God. But we are not under the law in the sense that we are through the law justifying ourselves by our works to be saved. Not at all. Okay. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, without the law or apart from the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, that is a satisfaction to the wrath of God through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, without the good works, without the commendable actions of the law. Amen. We end our reading at verse 28. And we do trust that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who breathed this word through the Apostle Paul, will breathe upon us today, that we would receive something of real, lasting, eternal value for our souls. For why should we come here and waste an hour? May God bless us with His word for Jesus' sake. We're taking verse 28 as our text today. Therefore, we conclude. Here's the conclusion: that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, how we ought to thank God regularly for the Great Reformation, for the professing church of the Dark Ages left the people without this glorious gospel that we're reading here today. But we praise God that we have the privilege of reading and studying the Holy Word of God, to know the gospel. Now, you know, there are multitudes of religious people today in various groups that go by so many different names. But the sad fact of the matter is that there is very little teaching about our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is sadly very little teaching regarding salvation by grace and through faith alone. Now, we praise God for even those Roman Catholic scholars at the time of the Reformation who admitted that Scripture teaches sola fide, faith by faith only. But it's interesting that those among them who dared to publish those beliefs were usually short-lived, and they died quite prematurely. So let us understand the importance of the truth that we've read in this 28th verse today. Free, full, and final salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, is still hated and opposed by so many systems and powers in the world today. Now this morning in verse 28, there are three outstanding things that have come to my mind in meditating on this scripture. And I want to give them to you very simply. First, faith without works. Secondly, faith versus works. And then thirdly, faith that works. So first of all, faith without works. Notice verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds, without the works of the law. The Apostle Paul has been very carefully, logically, systematically reasoning with the Jews. He has made it very clear to them that they are not saved by their ceremonies. You cannot be saved by a Jewish ceremony. Nobody in the Old Testament was saved by a ceremony. You read of Abraham. The scripture says he was justified by faith. Isn't that amazing? We read of all those great Old Testament characters in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And what does it say about them? They were all by faith. They were looking to the Lord. And they were looking even beyond those sacrifices. As David said in Psalm 51, Lord, sacrifice and offering thou desirest not. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Well, the Lord made it very clear through the apostle that the Jews were not saved by their ceremonies. Neither are they saved by obeying the Ten Commandments. These are the deeds of the law. And he says very plainly that a man is justified by faith without or apart from the deeds or the works of the law. The works of the law, the Greek word is very interesting. It's ergon. Ergon. The things that are energized by commandments. These are dead works that have an external source outside of us. And Paul, again, draws all of his proofs from Scripture to this logical conclusion. And he says in verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now we sum up all this material, Paul is saying, that I've been giving in these many verses before this. It is an inevitable, it is an inescapable conclusion, as he already said in verse 20. You notice verse 20? He says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. There's clear. Now, the word being justified without the deeds of the law. It's a very strong word in the original. It is chorus, and it means apart from, separate from, or in a place all by itself. It's an intriguing word because when Jesus rose from the dead, they went into the tomb where Jesus' grave clothes were, and there they were, all neatly over here. And the napkin that covered his head when he was buried, was all wrapped and folded very neatly all by itself. It's the same word in a totally different place. So the works that a human being does have nothing at all to do with his justification before God. No impact on God do human works make. Martin Luther felt so strongly about this that he translated it, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith only. That is certainly the impact of the Apostle Paul's teaching at this point. So I say, first of all, this verse is very clearly setting before us faith without works. Now let's consider faith versus works. What's the big difference? As I said earlier, the deeds of the law literally means the actions or the works energized by commandments outside of us. Now, think about that. Is there anything in man that's responding to these commandments? These commandments outside saying, do this. But the lost man has nothing within that is saying, you know, I need to do this. I really need to do this. Of course, there is the conscience, but there's not a real motivation in order to do these things. The problem with these works or deeds is their total inadequacy. We have never kept the commandments from our childhood till now. No one in this room has kept the commandments from childhood to this point. Nor will we ever be able to keep them in the future as long as we live and have corruption in our hearts. This emphasizes the need of a substitute, someone who is able to keep the commandments for us. Since we have failed, we need someone who never fails. This is exactly who we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. From the moment of His conception in Mary's womb until He committed His Spirit into the hands of the Heavenly Father, He never failed to perfectly keep the law in both its spirit and in its letter. The gospel, or good news, is this. Stop trying to justify your failures, your sins, and your guilt by doing. You can never make up for what you have done wrong by doing. Stop doing penances. Don't try to do better. Don't try to do good things in order to make up for all your bad things and failures. Stop doing and start trusting. This is the gospel. This is faith. Faith is a ceasing from yourself. Faith is a ceasing from your doing. It is a complete resting and relying on the doings of another. And that other one is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's doing is more than adequate to provide for you and for me a perfect standing before God. Simply rely on Him completely, apart from any works, any deeds, any prayers, any thoughts, any good attitudes of your own. This is faith. Faith is a firm reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ only. The good news is that Christ lived, Christ died, Christ was buried, and Christ rose from the dead to save us. Every bit of that was to save us. He came into this world. He lived. He died. He rose again in order to save us. Now, there is a contrast. Faith versus works. If you try to be saved by works, you'll never make it. Because there's one who has done all the works of the law that a mere sinful human being could not do. And that is Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator, the Scripture says, between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And He has come to mediate our salvation. And He is on the throne today at the Father's right hand. We come lastly to faith that works. Now, I've said many things about false religion. Because there is so much false religion in the world today. And I mention this because false religion is an obvious expression of a depraved man's basic desire to get to happiness without Christ. Man's basic desire is to have happiness without having it through Christ. Nearly all modern religion is Christless. Dietrich Bonhoeffer summed up the 20th century church in these words, Christless Christianity. This attitude, this kind of professing Christianity, finds its source in warped theology taught by lost teachers. When a natural man reads the Bible, he cannot grasp the spiritual meaning of what God is saying in this book. Because the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. There is an inability in the depraved intellect to take in what God says. A lost, unregenerate Bible scholar can read the book of Romans and then read the book of James and think that they contradict each other, but they do not. Romans repeats this declaration over and over again that a man is justified by faith without works. And yet when you go and read the book of James, James declares that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. James 2:24. Now, what do you do with that? Always understand to whom the New Testament writers are speaking in each case. Paul was writing to Jews in particular who were religious and they depended upon their works to save them. Now, you think about that. Paul is writing to people who were very religious and they were depending upon all they were doing to save them. All right. Now, the problem was these people obviously needed to be humbled. They needed to realize that only God's grace and Jesus' blood could save them. James, however, was speaking to a different group of people. James chapter 2. James was writing to those who were confident that they were saved simply by giving mental assent to the gospel. They did not bear the real fruit of the gospel in their lives. Their faith did not work by love. As the Apostle Paul says, true faith works by love. Galatians 5 and verse 6. So it wasn't true faith. It wasn't saving faith that those people had that James was addressing. A man may say that he has faith. If a man says he has faith, and yet he has food and he won't share that food with the hungry. Is that professed faith real? That's the question that's asked in James chapter 2, verses 14, 15, and 16. Now, again, he gives an argument for these people saying that their faith is not real. In chapter 2 of James in verse 19, he said, look, the demons also believe. But the demons, simply by their mental assent, they're not going to be saved any more than you folks are. And then down at the end of the chapter of James 2, verses 21 to 24, he said Abraham had faith and he proved it by his life. He proved it by what he did. What did he do? Abraham proved it to all our satisfaction by his willingness to offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice. He said, there you know, Abraham had real faith because it moved him to do something. He didn't do something in order to have the faith. He did something because he already had the faith. Okay. Now, we are saved by faith alone, but that faith never remains alone. Old Luther said, the proof of true faith is the fruit that it produces in the life. Now, I started this message today talking about very religious people who deny that we are saved by faith alone. But if they had spiritual eyesight, they would understand that we are saved by faith only, without works. And those who are genuinely saved receive a new heart and a new nature. And you know, a new heart and a new nature causes you to do certain things. First of all, a new heart and a new nature causes you to love God and also to love others. If you have a new heart and a new nature, you'll be thankful for what God has given you, and you will have love to God in return for His love to you, and you will love others and desire them to have it. Secondly, if we have a new heart and a new nature, we will have new obedience. We will obey God's word. And then a new heart and a new nature produces a new life of willing service to God and to man. Well, I want to ask you, Do you have such a heart? Have you been so wrought upon by the Holy Spirit that you rest on Christ alone for salvation? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Have you been so moved by the Spirit of God that you have come to rely only upon Christ for salvation? And I ask you another question. Have you been so changed by Christ that you now live to serve God and to serve others willingly? Here is real evidence of true faith and eternal salvation. There's evidence in a true believer's life that something has happened. There has been a great change. But we are saved by faith alone. That faith never remains alone. Let us pray together. O God, our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. And we pray that Thou wilt write the truth of it upon our hearts. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt minister the Word to those who need Christ alone as their salvation. And we pray that Thou wilt bless Thine own people. We pray that Thou wilt cause us to express that willingness more and more to live unto Thee, to serve Thee, to love Thee, and to do good to others. And now, may the love of God our Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us all for Jesus' sake. Amen.